how grateful we are for the musical offerings of Ann and Don and Angela and Eric and our choir. Thank you so much for your contributions to our worship service. Very inspiring, very moving, very encouraging. And we're very grateful for your leadership. God sent Jesus to Israel. Now, it would have been easy for the early Jewish Christians to conclude from the fact, that God had sent Jesus only to Israel. After all, Jesus had pretty much confined his ministry to the Jewish people. In fact, once he said that he had come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we have to put that saying in its context. A Canaanite woman had approached Jesus asking him to heal her daughter. And it was in response to that Canaanite woman's request that Jesus said those words that he had come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we need to take note of the fact that Jesus ultimately responded to the woman's great faith by healing her daughter. Jesus did, in fact, heal her daughter, even though she was not an Israelite. So we see hints, even during Jesus' ministry, that it was God's intention that the good news was ultimately intended to spread beyond the borders of Israel. And when we get to the end of the book of Matthew, we have the Great Commission, where Jesus told his disciples to take the good news to people all over the world. And that is a commission that we still work to fulfill today. We see God's intention that the good news be spread beyond the borders of Israel in God's announcement to the Magi of the birth of Jesus. Now, as you know, there are two Gospels that have accounts of the birth of Jesus. One is the Gospel of Luke. The other is the Gospel of Matthew. In Luke's Gospel, God sends angels to shepherds to announce Jesus' birth. Now, this would have been surprising to people because shepherds were considered unclean because of their inability to fulfill all the dictates of the law. So for God to announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds meant that God announced the birth of Jesus to individuals who were regarded as being outside the lines of what was considered a proper and observant practitioner of Judaism. To put it more simply, God revealed the good news about the birth of Jesus to Jewish outsiders and outcasts. These were people who were not on the inside. They were not regarded as the privileged. They were regarded as the outsiders and the outcasts. Now, that's in Luke's gospel. But in Matthew's gospel, God announces the birth of Jesus to people who were from another country altogether. The Magi, or wise men, were probably, as Pam said in the children's message, Persian astrologers. Now, whereas God had announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds through angels, God announces the birth to the Magi through a star. Now, we need to notice how God communicates with the Magi through a means that fit in with their regular practices. The Magi studied the stars as a matter of course. It was a part of their daily activity. So God reached out to the Magi in a way that they were sure to comprehend. God intentionally and purposefully announced the birth of Jesus to the Magi. Now, when God did that, God knew that the Magi were from another country, that they spoke a different language, that they practiced a different religion. And still, God reached out to them to alert them to the birth of the King of the Jews. And the Magi, however many there were open and responsive to the great event to which God called their attention. The Magi responded to God's invitation through the star by traveling to Jerusalem. Now, that made sense. That was a logical move on the part of the Magi. They were looking for the newborn king of Israel, so it made sense to go to the capital of Israel to seek that newborn king. And so they went to Jerusalem. Once they arrived in Jerusalem, the Magi began asking, "Where is the child that has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Now, it's not explained to us how the Magi knew that the star signified the birth of a Jewish king. One thing just kind of leads to the other. They see the star, they say that it is a sign of the birth of a Jewish king, but we're not told how they made that connection. But somehow they did. They were record keepers of the stars. Maybe they had charts and graphs that led them to conclude that the star pointed to the birth of the king of Israel. The wise men evidently followed the guidance of the star to Israel. We should understand that God caused the star to appear, and God inspired the Magi to go to Israel in light of what had been revealed to them by the star. When King Herod heard that the Magi were inquiring into the birth of a new king of the Jews, Herod was frightened. Why was he frightened? Well, he would have been frightened because a new king would be a threat to his reign. Herod had a history of eliminating anyone that he viewed as a threat to his throne. He had even had one of his wives and two of his sons executed because he was concerned about claims they might make to the throne. So we know why Herod was frightened by the news of a newborn king of the Jews, but why would all Jerusalem be frightened with him? After all, Herod was a bad king, and people in Jerusalem, for the most part, probably would have been very pleased to see a new king take Herod's place. But they were probably frightened by the possibility that an upstart king might instigate a rebellion, and such a rebellion would have caused the Romans to respond with force that might lead to the destruction of the nation. So the people had reason to be concerned about this news. Well, Herod summoned the biblical scholars to ask them where the Messiah was to be born. It's interesting that he puts it that way, and that is how he puts it. He doesn't ask, "Where is the new king?" He asks, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" Now, what's interesting about that is the Magi had said nothing about the Messiah. They had just asked where the new king of Israel was. Does Herod suspect that this new king might be the Messiah? If so, we're not told what led him to draw that conclusion. But this much is clear. Herod was right. Herod was right. Jesus was the Messiah of Israel. He was also the Messiah for everyone. God's leading the Magi to Israel to pay homage to the King of the Jews proves both points. That Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, that point is proven by the fact that the child was born in Israel and was declared by God to be the king of the Jews. And the point that Jesus was also the Messiah for everyone is proven by the fact that God alerted the Persian astronomers to the child's birth. This is an invitation to not just those who are outside Judaism, but those who were outside Israel altogether. They would have been regarded as utter outsiders. But God revealed the birth of His Son to these wise men. Well, the biblical scholars knew their Bibles, as biblical scholars should. And they responded that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They based their answer on a prophecy found in the book of Micah. So Herod summoned the Magi and sent them to Bethlehem. He told them that he wanted them to go find the child and then bring him word of where the child was so he could go and pay homage to him as well. Now, one would think if Herod was really interested in the child, he would have accompanied the Magi to Bethlehem. Doesn't that seem logical? If this new king is to be born in Bethlehem, and if that's where the Magi are going, wouldn't it make sense for Herod to accompany them to find the new king for himself? But we have to remember that Herod wasn't really interested in paying homage to the child. Herod wanted to do away with the child. So it isn't really surprising that Herod engaged in some conspiratorial thinking and actions. What is more surprising is that the biblical scholars were not so intrigued by the wise men's words and mission that they felt compelled to accompany the Magi on their trip to Bethlehem. You would think that these biblical scholars who have told Herod that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem and that the Magi then went to Bethlehem to find this new king, you would think that the curiosity of these biblical scholars would be aroused by that and that they would want to accompany the Magi on their trip. But we see here a prelude to the religious leaders' future rejection of the adult Jesus when he undertakes his mission of bringing the kingdom of God to people. We also have a hint of why God sent the good news of the birth of the Messiah to Persian wise men rather than to the biblical scholars. Now, technically, I'm a biblical scholar. I have a PhD in Old Testament and did an area of study in New Testament as well. And I have 3 degrees in religion. And I should know a lot. I should know a lot more than I know. But Jesus did not reveal the word about the birth of Jesus to the biblical scholars, like me. Because God knew that the wise men would be more open to the good news of Jesus' birth than the scholars would be. That outsiders would be more open to the news of Jesus' birth than the most inside of the insiders would be. You know, sometimes people that we would expect to be open to the good news aren't, while people we would not expect to be open to it are. We might be surprised at who is receptive to the good news. We are the privileged. We are the people who have access to the Bible and to the good news contained in it. We are the people who are the heirs of the Christian tradition. You know, we're at the end of 2,000 years of Christian history through which the good news of Jesus has been handed down. And so you would think that we would be more open to the good news of Jesus than others would be. But let me ask you, how open are we really? How open are we really to God's revelation of God's love and mercy through Jesus Christ? How intentional are we about seeking to incorporate God's grace and love into our lives? How serious are we about growing in our relationship with Jesus? How intentional are we about growing in our relationship with Jesus? And based on this scripture that we've read today, how serious are we about being open to outsiders, to people that we might regard as being beyond the reach of God's grace? It's pretty arrogant of us to think about people being beyond the reach of God's grace when no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. God's leading of the Magi to Bethlehem reveals to us that God invites even those whose inclusion in the kingdom of God might shock us, might trouble us, might challenge us. We dare not be closed to those to whom God is open. And God is open to anyone and to everyone. And we need to be open to anyone and everyone as well. And so it came to pass that the Magi came to Bethlehem. There they paid homage to the infant Jesus and gave gifts to the Holy Family. No doubt their lives were changed through their encounter with the Christ child. No doubt they took the effects of that experience with them back to their home country. And there's no doubt that we will be better disciples of Jesus as we become more open to and welcoming of those whom we regard as outsiders and strangers. God acted directly to guide the Magi to Jesus. God sent a star to alert the Magi of the birth of Jesus. Now God calls us to be the avenue through which outsiders and strangers come to Jesus. God's not likely to send a star to somebody now to indicate to them that Jesus is the Messiah. God sends us and expects us to bear witness to Jesus. So will we heed the call? Will we work to remove the barriers that separate strangers and outsiders from us? Will we accept and live in light of the fact that the good news of Jesus Christ is for anybody and everybody? That is the good news, and it is good news for all people. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 163, Wonderful Words of Life. If God has laid it on your heart to make a decision for Him, perhaps you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, perhaps you'd like to become a part of this fellowship, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.